What's going on? What's happening, Africa? This is Jackson Vunganyi right here in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Nadia Sami. Thanks for joining us. We'd love to have you on board. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
Welcome, welcome. Well, at The Voice of America News, yeah, presenting, you know, it's Upfront Show. Blazing up the place. Reaching out to you from out of The Voice of America News. Yeah, well, Emmanuel Isolasia, yeah, Rastafari.
Welcome to Upfront on The Voice of America. My name is Jackson Vunganyi in Washington, D.C. Today we talk about a subject that is quite common in our societies. It has to do with how we define beauty. Some scholars have said that one of the significant after effects of Western colonization on the African society is the trivialization of skin color. Skin color is a significant issue in the psychology of peoples of African descent. It continues to have a great impact on the social and psychological disposition of people of African descent. Researchers say that social scientists should look more at the implication of skin color if they want to understand stereotypes, discrimination, and various behavioral and psychological phenomena. So today on the show, on Upfront, we will discuss the all-too-common phenomena known as skin bleaching. Statistics show that there's a large segment of our African population who believe that being lighter in complexion is more beautiful and that it works to their advantage either socially or economically. But what is the source of this clearly misguided philosophy? Even as we move to a more globalized society, you would think that some of these stereotypes of skin color would be phasing out. Yet, at the same time, the skin bleaching cream industry is clocking in over $40 billion a year. That's a very interesting statistic, if not scary. So on the show today, I will talk to a Hollywood filmmaker whose new movie explores some of the biases on skin color that exist around the world. We'll also listen to some of your reactions to this skin bleaching craze. But also, let me point out that this is not just limited to the African continent. It's kind of a worldwide phenomenon. So let's talk. This is Upfront on The Voice of America.
I'm a student at MUK. I'm doing commerce. To me, maybe people bleach themselves because they want to look more pretty. For the many side, I don't know. You know, it's not good because it has disadvantages. When someone who bleached him or herself gets an accident, it's very hard to operate that person.
My name is Namaganda Joan. I study at Makerere University. I think people bleach their bodies because of bandwagon. You can find a group of lesser students or members and they tell you when you bleach yourself you look beautiful, the pimples will go away and all that stuff.
The reason why people bleach their body is a matter of not being satisfied with how you look.
My name is Hasina Asiad Ahmad Branta, I am Malawi. Sometimes it is the influence of the technology that people have been influenced by the westernization. Most of them, they want to look like people in the West. And secondly, most of the women are not satisfied with the way they look on how God created them. So they want to look the same like maybe somebody who is an American or somebody who is coming from Britain. I can quote some of the reasons why people are doing these things these days.
Well, according to me, maybe I feel like they're just trying to make themselves look according to what they want. But as if you can actually ask me whether I do that kind of thing, I don't do, because I believe who I am. I believe that this is how I was actually created by the Almighty. So I wouldn't say I should actually be applying something else so that I should look good. Because people know that, no, this is not how this person actually looks.
Most of the times it is because they are ashamed of their looks. Maybe they think that to be brown is beauty. So they think they have to bleach their skin so that they should look like those whom they feel superior to them.
On The Voice of America. Stay tuned for music and analysis on today's topic. This is another great soul feature.
That you care
you to all our listeners for your opinions. We love hearing from you. It's the best part of the show, where we get to hear what our listeners are saying about our topics. You tuned to Upfront on the Voice of America. Keep those comments rolling in. You can email us to upfront@voanews.com. That's upfront@voanews.com. Or follow us on Twitter or find our page on Facebook.
I'm called Natkunda Maureen. I'm temporarily employed and I'm right here in Kampala. Some people bleach actually because actually some women think it is a sign of beauty. And about men, I don't know, but some women prefer being light. And other people think maybe men will love them because they're light, because there are guys who like women who are light. So I would think some people bleach because they feel it is a sign of beauty to them.
I'm called Abam Moses. To me, bleaching is something very, very bad. And in fact, it is against the culture, our culture, African culture. Take for example, me myself who is speaking. I love my color because I'm dark, and like when I move around, most of my friends, even girls, they always tell me that you like such guys well, you know. But these are people who I think their minds have been poisoned by the Westerners, Western cultures, and which is very dangerous because you have to be proud of who you are, you get. So that's why I really love the color. I hate people who bleach because you should be naturally you. So that in this, I totally disagree with people who bleach. It's a crime, actually.
I'm called Wagawa Dauda, student of Makerere University, doing bachelor in tourism, second year. Bleaching, I'm a staunch Muslim, and the Bible and the Quran, the holy books, it is condemned, totally condemned. God gave us the skin and gave us the beauty. So whatever color God blended you in, that is the most beautiful and pleasant way you can ever appear to someone.
Observers say that in many African societies, and indeed in Black American society as well, there is a certain group of men or circle of men or school of thought among men who believe that by having a wife or a girlfriend of a lighter complexion is somehow brings you more status or somehow increases your prospects in life, etc., etc. And it's a very unfortunate reality. There are people who are willing to do just about anything to lighten their skin color. And I don't think it's just limited to African society, although certainly it is very prevalent on the continent. We've done some research and the figures are quite scary. The beauty and personal care industry in Africa is full of products meant to enhance and in fact to lighten the skin. Products specifically targeting women who have that insecurity about their skin color. And it's pretty scary, the fact that worldwide the bleaching industry is said to be worth in excess of $4 billion. That's a pretty big figure. We're talking about just skin lightening products.
Nadia, media advertising worldwide is said to have greatly enhanced the stereotypes that light-skinned people are more advantaged socially or even romantically. And this is something that Bill Duke, filmmaker, he's a legendary Hollywood actor and director, and he talks to me about his new movie that explores this issue. Dark Girls is the name of the movie. It will be coming to theaters very soon.
Dark Girls is a documentary, and it deals with colorism within our own community or in our own communities globally. And it deals with the preference in our communities of light skin over darker skin. And we examine the issue from an historical, global, psychological, quantum physics, psychiatric point and healing point of view.
And this is a very strong conversation that you're starting, very powerful conversation. Some say it's a little bit long overdue. Why has it taken this long for some of these things, very important, pertinent issues to be brought to light?
I think for many cultures, the most painful issues of the culture are not easy to talk about, so we keep them in. And as a result, things don't change. Media has an opportunity to create dialogue. And in creating dialogue, sometimes there's healing. That's what our hope is. We're not psychiatrists or anything, but we are filmmakers, and we hope that the dialogue that starts allows people to speak about things they haven't spoken about previously.
There's some who say that media has been part of the process of creating the stereotype, of putting the lighter individual on the airwaves more than the darker person. Do you see the media itself also needing to start changing the way it views the black, the dark and light dynamic among African-American society?
Well, there are several layers to that. Yes, media does impact this issue in very powerful ways. Let me start with saying that I think people that are in charge of media feel more comfortable with beauty standards that are related to themselves. And so the lighter you are and the more your hair is like the person in charge of media, there's a level of comfort there in terms of beauty standards that a person of my complexion and, with all due respect, your complexion does not make people feel the same level of comfort. And then there is the level of what I called commission and omission. Commission is when I say through an image I present that you are either stupid or comical or buffoonery or bad or negative or whatever it is by something I write for a film or a television show or a magazine or animation or whatever, and it says that I think this of you, and it's not positive. That's the sin of actually I'm committing to a statement or a belief system. The sin of omission is equally as, painful and insidious in the sense that instead of committing to the statement, whenever there's something holistic, whenever there's a whole family, whenever there's a hero, whenever there's something positive, you're not there. You don't exist in that realm of reality.
All right, so we'll continue with our discussion in a moment with Hollywood director Bill Duke. And next, we'll explore the role of popular media, television, radio in perpetuating this issue.
Say it loud. I'm coming out. Say it loud. I'm coming out.
Hi, this is Mariam from Kampala, Uganda, and I'm listening to Upfront on Voice of America. Ciao, ciao.
Welcome back. This is Upfront on the Voice of America, in case you're just joining us. I'm speaking to Hollywood director Bill Duke. His recent movie is called Dark Girls. And Bill, let me ask you, what is the role of media in perpetuating what some researchers have termed as self-hate?
I think media has a responsibility to begin to correct some of these issues. I don't know if it ever will. I think in a small way it tries from time to time. But fundamentally, I think that media really impacts our children, whether it's through games or TV, cell phone apps, whether it's through television, film, books, animation, makes no difference. The way children see themselves at an early age impacts them forever.
Now, the root of this Eurocentric view of beauty is very much rooted in some racial, it has racial overtones. And when did black people start being part of the people that perpetuate the same racism against themselves?
Well, enslaved.
Is that even called racism when it's within the same group of people?
Well, there are a lot of people in our community that feel that black people can't be racist because we're black and we're not in power. I think that's a lot of garbage. You can treat somebody in a disrespectful way because you're black. It doesn't mean that the pain is any less. And so if you go back to slavery, there were the house Negroes and the field Negroes. The house Negroes were the people who, the women were raped by Massa, and they looked more like Massa, and therefore they were his children. There was an understanding in the household that they would come in the house, and they would serve the house and cook and the rest of it, and they would be in charge of the field Negroes sometimes, who are darker, etc. I think that that quantum physics level of energy, that historical dynamic, has been carried on throughout history, to us today. There is some understanding and that lighter is brighter, smarter, prettier. There are clubs in Harlem called the Snow and Blow Club.
The Snow and Blow Club.
Snow and Blow. If your skin was almost as white as snow and your hair blew in the wind, you could get in the club.
If you're a black person.
If you're a black person. Now, you and I couldn't get in that club.
Absolutely not.
I don't have no hair. I don't think your hair blows in the wind, right?
No.
So I don't think.
I have a nappy hair.
That's not going to work. So we couldn't get in. There was the brown paper bag test. If your paper bag be held to your face, if your face was darker than a paper bag, you're not getting in that club. So we inherit these values of beauty, these systems of self-degradation through historical kinds of impacts. And this is not a domestic phenomenon. This is global. Skin bleach cream is a multi-billion dollar business globally.
Ooh, yeah, yeah. They got so much things to say right now. They got so much things to say.
We Africans, we have the best and the best skin God gave us. We are not affected by light rays, but when someone bleaches, all those effects start to come out. The beauty, the color, the diseases, their skin start to itch, such things. So I really, really condemn it, and it's a very bad act. To men's side, I really am very, very much disappointed, man. How can a man start to bleach? Then there's something wrong with you mentally. It's a very, very bad act.
I think that is it has something to do with the style. They are going maybe with the style of fashion, something like that. What they see on the media as well pull them to do the same. They want to act like celebrities, look like celebrities, dress like them, and feel fancy. It's lifestyle. It's a free lifestyle. No, it's about somebody's feelings. Somebody has the right over his body, and if it is not offending the rest of the people, I think they have the right. They can do it.
It is Tumwine Dan, a teacher from Bugema Adventist Secondary School. I discourage breaching. Now, why should a man breach himself? Why should a woman breach herself? You know, Africans have a problem. Bleaching is really very dangerous. I don't know what the medics would have to say, but Africa, we live under the sun. We have our sun from January to January. And someone who breaches himself to me doesn't know what it means enjoying Africa. When men have gone the extent of doing it, that is the extreme. A man who breaches himself to me, I don't even have a prescription for such a person. I don't have it.
To be sincere, I don't see it sane for someone to bleach. Skin is skin, and it's just because of the conditions we live in. Conditions we are under in Africa that would require such a tough skin that is dark for the melanin. I don't see bleaching because at the end of the day, it destroys the cells in one's body, and trust me, the conditions won't be any favorable no more. So I do not think. And I think maybe the issue is when they see, you know, the Africans have a tendency, whites are the best people in the world, so being with a brown skin, they look at it as something lucrative, which at the end of the day destroys their lives.
Joining us here on Upfront, we're talking about the psychology of skin color and bleaching as an after effect, or as an effect of how we understand beauty and our perceptions of beauty. Now, skin bleaching products are to be found everywhere, really. You can go into any supermarket or pharmacy and you'll find shelves of products promising to actually lighten skin color. And skin bleaching products are used widely advertised around the world.
For instance, in India, Bollywood stars like Shah Rukh Khan have done several ad campaigns and commercials actually endorsing skin lightening products. Now, the practice has been around for years, Jackson, especially in Asian, African and Caribbean countries. It's widely used in Central and West Africa. People lighten their skin using natural ingredients. In some cases, we hear of communities of women using turmeric, the spice, or through cosmetic brightening creams like mercuric soaps or different types of creams and steroid gels, etc. Users may choose to lighten only their faces or do a more extensive body treatment, and it can be done at home or with a dermatologist. And I mean, this is not something, again, let's add here, it's not something limited to the African continent. We see the phenomenon of colorism in the United States among Black American populations as well, where there's a perception that if you have a lighter skin, if you're a Black individual but with a lighter skin, there's a certain higher status. There's a perception that there's a higher status among certain individuals, and obviously that's not correct.
Yes, we can change the world.
Kwame Asante and Mukamiti represent two different regions of the African continent. Kwame comes from West Africa in Ghana, and Mukamiti comes from Tanzania. I have them in the studio, and we talked about attitudes and perceptions on skin color among young Africans.
Well, for Ghana, I remember in the 90s, it was increasingly becoming a problem, where there was a whole campaign for not just Ghanaians, it was collectively West Africa, for West Africans to love their skin and enjoy their God-given skin.
Who led the campaign? Was it a government campaign?
It was a government campaign, and a few social amenities came together to work on that campaign.
That means this was a big issue to the point where the government has to intervene. It was a serious issue to that point.
It was growing, because when it was started on the grassroots. A few women here and there were bleaching. And then they realized that they started recording issues in the hospitals where women with bleached skin would come and complain about illnesses. And bleaching back then, they weren't using the right kind of creams. And it created this sort of smell. The chemicals were just destroying
them on a long time. So it had become a trend in a way.
Yeah, sort of.
And they were doing it so they can be light-skinned, or because they wanted to be bleached, to have that bleached look?
I think I can't answer that for them, but to me, I feel it was a self-esteem issue where they didn't enjoy their skin. They didn't like the black, or they felt they were too dark. And then some people also believe the men were giving them pressure. Some men, maybe a woman was interested in a man and the man would prefer a light-skinned woman. So then she would go in and bleach and then appease the man who was trying to woo her. You understand? So it was a two-way thing. But then you never know why really someone bleaches until they
committee,
tell you.
you're a chocolate-skinned. I hate to use the word dark-skinned or black. Do you ever feel that in any way your skin color is related to your self-esteem?
I like the way I am looking. Black is beauty.
Absolutely. I agree with that.
So to me, to bleach my skin is out of my mind.
You've never thought about it?
Never thought about it, and I will never, ever.
Do you have friends who bleach?
Yes, I do, but it's not from my home country, Tanzania.
They're not from Tanzania?
Nope.
I'm quite sure there are some Tanzanian women who do bleach their skin, though, right?
Very few people, and people from Tanzania who do that, let me put this way, they are trying to go with fashion or
the
style.
Trend, like Kwame said, the
exactly.
Trend. Okay.
So you see, like, some women think that if I am a chocolate color like mine, maybe men won't look at me, won't be attractive with me. So I have to apply some chemicals to look like white people, like Mzungu.
Okay.
We call
because this is what they see on TV.
On TV and internet, everywhere.
How is it right now? Do young people understand or have issues with their skin color?
Luckily for us, I think currently young people appreciate themselves more, but we still have one or two cases of people bleaching back in West Africa. And trust me, the stars in West Africa, like the musicians and the movie actors and actresses, are really not helping the case, because unfortunately some of these young people look up to these movie stars and musicians, and some of them are bleaching. There's a situation where on social media we've seen some befores and afters. And
the after images.
And they were very drastic. And these are people young adults and youngsters and teenagers look up to.
They're pop culture figures.
Thank you. So if my star is bleaching, then I'm also going to bleach because probably it's cool. Which is totally
your understanding
wrong.
Of beauty in the terms of the movie star.
Yeah.
Ah, interesting. But also that there's been a consciousness among young people to love their skin color.
Yes, certainly. Mm-hmm. Certainly. It's now people actually love their skin color. People embrace their skin color. We have people like Lupita, who is very dark.
Absolutely.
And she looks gorgeous. Even Hollywood is praising her for flawless skin. These are people young people look up to now, because I mean, who doesn't want to come from Africa and straight into Hollywood?
Absolutely.
You understand? So we have people like that who other young people are looking up to, but the home-based musicians and actors, some of them are not helping the case.
And you give me all of you. I give you all of me. And you give me all of you.
Upfront on the Voice of America. Issues affecting your daily lives.
Marino is a young Rwandan writer. She lives in Norway and says that in spite of the risks related to skin bleaching, some people won't stop.
Can I tell you something sad?
Sure.
I have a friend who who says she uses skin bleaching creams,
right.
And they are skin bleaching creams because that's why she uses them to have a lighter complexion.
Right.
And every time I tell her, but when they talk about cancer and things, you think that's not a risk to you? Is it like other people get cancer and you couldn't, or why do you think it's okay to put harmful chemicals on your skin? And she always comes back with this funny observation.
I'm very curious.
Look at the label. Look at the label. Does it say anything about cancer and bleaching and stuff like that? Oh, you're crazy. This is just, body lotion. I'm like, no, you know why you buy those things. You know exactly why. It's like smokers. You know that it's bad for you, but you can't stop.
But you do it.
For some reason, right. And it makes you feel good. I guess, it all comes down to what makes you feel good. And
By the way, I just realized that skin bleaching is not just confined to women. The men, some studies that have men that bleach their skin.
Yeah. And I think I saw on an American talk show about a woman who was bleaching her son, two of them, because one of them was light enough for her, but the other two were kind of dark, so she would actually put chemicals on their skin to make them lighter. And I thought
that
was
really
bad. That
is so wrong. That is so wrong.
She's also teaching them that, here are my insecurities. Have them all.
Absolutely.
Please
absolutely.
Grow up feeling feeling not okay and not beautiful. I didn't feel beautiful when I was growing up.
The worst
it's
thing
really
that you can
sad.
The worst thing that you can pass on to your kids is your insecurities.
Exactly. And it's really a tragedy.
Absolutely. Thank you very much for listening to Upfront on the Voice of America. I would like to thank my co-host Nadia Sami in Johannesburg, South Africa. We would also like to thank all our listeners who contributed to the show this time around. And if you have any questions or comments or want to contribute to the show in future, remember to send us an email at upfront@voanews.com. If you want to connect with me on Twitter, my handle is @UpfrontAfrica. Let's connect again next week, right here, same time. On behalf of my colleagues,